Good morning. I'm Ismael Guerrero, and the Executive Director of the Denver Housing Authority. It's great to be here with everybody. My only disclaimer, likewise, is I'm not a medical professional. I've never played one on TV, but have 20 years of developing, owning, and managing real estate, basically affordable housing and community facilities, both in Chicago and now in Denver. So I'm going to share with you kind of two things that we're doing at the Housing Authority on this topic, give you kind of the local example of what Sonia and what you've heard here today from many of my colleagues, obviously, around the country are very interested in how we care for our aging seniors, our aging population, as well as the growing number of disabled individuals that we're housing. And so I was going to share with you both survey information that we've gotten from our folks and how we're using that to help determine what kind of programming we're offering on site. And then secondly, how we're using what we call our Healthy Living Initiative to help design, better design communities as we rebuild some of the older aging public housing stock into new mixed income communities. So for the last couple of years, we have been doing our annual senior disabled survey, resident survey. Where we send out surveys to our residents and get, you know, ask them a series of questions on their health, on their living conditions, and so forth. And we're using that as a way to, again, to look ahead and plan programs and services on site. We got a little over under 300 last time in 2013. We just completed our survey this year. I wasn't able to get the numbers tabulated yet, but we almost doubled the number of surveys coming in, so close to 600 for 2014. So, you know, a pretty good number that we're getting back. And we're using this, as I said, to identify where the challenges, their needs, and the services and gaps. Really hearing from the seniors directly. You know, what do you need, and what are the gaps that we could help fill to help you live more comfortably, more independently, and age in place longer. One of the challenges we have, honestly, is with seniors in particular. There's a fear factor that comes into play as they become more frail. And more disabled, harder to maintain their home, and the fear is losing their house, basically, or losing their unit when they're no longer able to live there independently, and knowing that there are not a lot of options in terms of quality supportive housing or assisted living for them that they can afford. So they tend to become then more isolated, more closed doors, you know, come out even less as they become more frail, and you have less interaction with them, and they have less interaction with other residents. So that's something that we're really trying to combat. So you can see, you know, just some of from the survey results, the illnesses that are being experienced, some of them chronic, like high blood pressure, diabetes, and then at the other end, depression and emotional issues, arthritis, obviously getting harder to people to get around. So those are all things that we're seeing, and we're trying to use this, you know, this health impact assessment model to then inform what we're doing, and hopefully over time baseline, you know, with our baseline, see what kind of improvements we're having in these areas. Interestingly, nutrition has come up as a big factor around health and living conditions. You can see, you know, almost a quarter were concerned about not having enough to eat. 20% almost ate less than they wanted to because they didn't have enough money. Some couldn't get to get good food because of transportation issues. Half do receive federally funded food support, and 40% get food from a food bank. So access to food, you know, in and of itself creates a challenge. We also saw that how people get around as they get older is a challenge, very dependent on public transportation and access to the buses. We're very focused right now in Denver with the expansion of our light rail system to build housing adjacent to new light rail stations or existing ones. Not many people rode a bike, but that's something that we've been actually having a good impact on. So in terms of our end, this is what some of the things that we've come up with. I'll talk a little bit more about our Transit Ambassador Program, where we're helping to train seniors to be ambassadors and get other seniors to use the bus and the light rail system. We've had a great partnership on food with food banks, and actually more recently with the Denver Botanical Gardens that has a CSA, Community Share Agriculture Farm, and they're bringing their surplus produce on site and doing weekly distributions at one of our senior facilities. And then none of this we could do without a whole lot of partners that come on site, and that's something that our on-site service coordinators try to do is, I call them my concierge. They're matching senior needs and resident needs with other programs in the community and bringing more more partners on site. One of the new ones this last year was Senior Mobile Dental, which will come on site and do dental service work for our senior and disabled right on the facility. So those are some of the things that we've learned and how we're, you know, driving our programming across the portfolio. I was going to share quickly what we're doing at one particular site, a Hope 6 development, the Mariposa District, formerly the South Lincoln Homes. We've demolished now all the buildings. We've brought, it was initially 250 units. We're bringing back about 800 units altogether, tripling the density, making it a mixed-income community. In line with HUD's initiative around choice neighborhoods, we brought back all 250 public housing units, so we preserved those units, added another third of affordable housing through the tax credit program, and then the rest are market rate units. So it's a real mix of incomes. Following on HUD's initiative, it's really focusing on people, on housing, and the neighborhood overall. And we're definitely tracking the trend around the country. Around the focus in real estate on building healthy places. And this is both Urban Land Institute, AIA in Denver, the Colorado Health Foundation is very focused on, you know, what are the health determinants in a neighborhood and the place-based strategy so that you're addressing it. At the Mariposa District in the South Lincoln neighborhood, very diverse ethnically, generationally, income-wise, and we wanted to make sure that as we rebuilt the neighborhood, we were building it back for the residents who had been there and took a lot of that into account. So did a lot of community meetings, indoors, outdoors, small groups, large groups, probably over 300 altogether. A lot of comments came in. We organized the data around this HDMT, the Healthy Development Measurement Tool, developed by the San Francisco Department of Public Health, as a way to gauge neighborhood health and impact, inform neighborhood planning. We took it to the next level of actually helping us design buildings and a community. Some of the things when we did our health impact assessment as we were starting to plan for the Mariposa redevelopment, not surprisingly, 38% of our residents had diabetes, 39% had asthma issues, 64% had high blood pressure. This is families, seniors, and the disabled community there. So we had a lot of to things that we were trying to address. Only 25% were healthy of a healthy weight, 39% overweight, 29% obese. So obesity, childhood obesity, obesity in seniors and throughout the community was really an issue then. So these are things we were trying to address. So we took some of this as data inputs to our architects and design team and to get them to, you know, in terms of how we were going to develop the community. Started that in 2009 and we're just a couple of phases from finishing the whole project. So we established physical, mental, and community health as the framework for how we were going to plan, do the master planning for this community. The goal was improved. So our goal wasn't just about the housing. The goal we set out was how do we improve quality of life for residents, quality and length of life. And we realized that the built environment, as we've heard from others today, really can determine health outcomes, which ultimately influences length and quality of life for our seniors. So that was our model going in. This is kind of the framework. So all the determinants of a healthy community, housing is one component, but the economy, social cohesion, public infrastructure, the environment, and sustainable, safe transportation, all kind of key components of having a healthy community. And so that when we set out, we made sure we were addressing those, understanding what were the determinants and how those impacted length and quality of life. So some of the things we did, again, in those factors around healthy housing, the research showed, right, that spending high proportion of income on rent means fewer resources for food, for heating, transportation, and healthcare. So actually expanding the amount of affordable housing in the neighborhood was important so people had disposable income for these other things. And we also saw in the research that living next to green spaces is associated with reduced self-reported health symptoms. So people feel healthier, report that they're healthier if they have access to outdoor green space. On the transportation side, you know, in terms of making sure that was there, the research showed us that quality, safe pedestrian and bicycle environments create health benefits, including prevention or reduction in obesity, diabetes, heart disease, mental health improvements, and in the overall health of the community. So these were things that were, again, data points we were sharing with our design team to make sure that as we did master planning, they were trying to impact these areas. On the infrastructure, public infrastructure, both healthcare, daily goods and services, and food access were critical. Access to healthy food, right, directly correlated with obesity and diabetes rates, which incur in higher rates among people living in low-income areas and food deserts that many of our low-income communities are. So we wanted to make sure we were addressing these. These are the buildings that are now back. This is a mixed-income property, so, you know, from public housing units to affordable to market-rate units, all in the same building. They're not designated, so people live anywhere. With Denver Botanical Gardens, doing some on-site micro-farming to grow fresh foods and have an on-site farmer's market. That's our senior disabled property, Tapiz Apartments, one of the first ones that came up. A lot of community space, gathering places and plazas, a lot of artwork to make it feel engaging. We were fortunate this last September, we were rated in this neighborhood one of the top 10 neighborhoods in the country by the American Planning Association, specifically highlighting the diversity and the affordability mix in the community. So, you know, we feel like it's working, and we're certainly having no issues attracting market rate and public housing residents back to the neighborhood. Some of the things that we learned from this were, and that we came up with, were these active living guidelines. So as we planned the buildings and communities now going forward, we're including things like central stairwells that are open. We kind of tuck the elevators behind them. So the first thing you see coming in the lobby is kind of a central stairwell to get more people walking up and down rather than using the elevator. A lot of natural daylighting, bike parking in the units, bike repair stations for residents. We've installed several B-cycle stations. Obviously a lot of active play area for kids and adults and connecting our neighborhood back to the city's trail systems. Denver B-Cycles, we had a great partnership with them. In order to increase that kind of resident mobility, we really had to go out and very intentionally create bike clubs to, you know, just giving out a pass and showing them where the bike station is doesn't get you there. So we've created bike clubs. My staff does monthly and weekly ride-alongs. We've, you know, gone in groups to the nearest supermarket where people can go for groceries when they want to. We do monthly rides around the neighborhood to, you know, show them how they can get to certain places. And once they feel safe and engaged, then they use it more on their own. And the B-Cycle program has provided free bike passes, annual passes for our seniors in these buildings. So that's been something that's been very good. The Transit Ambassador Program, even though we have seven new light rail lines going in and many new stations, not something that everybody was comfortable using. So we started training some of our seniors to be ambassadors and to take their neighbors basically on rides on using the new light rail system to get to key places around the city and kind of help them navigate through the fare structure and, you know, just getting passes till we're sure that they're using them. And then finally, some of the programming that we've brought into place at the Mariposa District around nutrition. We have partners like Cooking Matters that are doing on-site classes with the fresh fruits and vegetables that we're providing them. One of the things that we have at the Housing Authority, we've always had a culinary academy, youth culinary academy, where we've been teaching the 17 to 24-year-olds the culinary arts. We had a program through the Office of Economic Development. When we built the new Tapiz building, which you kind of see in the background, we installed on the ground floor the Osage Cafe, which is an extension of our culinary academy. We have a full commercial kitchen. Now they're doing catering and running a cafe, the students are. We intentionally located it here in the senior property, at Tapiz, so that our seniors could come down and have access to healthy meals right on site. And it's giving our students direct kind of frontline experience. And then we share the commercial kitchen with other partners who can come on site and do cooking classes and nutrition classes right on site. So Kitchen Q is another one. And Fresh Takes, which is kind of a farming collaborative, is now able to take the SNAP benefit, so people can pay for their vegetables with their SNAP card. SNAP is the food SNAP card, TANF. Around fitness, we've started yoga for people. We've got a walking club. We've got Sit and Be Fit exercising and a Zumba class, which is very popular with our senior folks. On the education side, we've had some self-defense classes, stress management classes, Bright Beginnings, which is a morning get-together, just getting people out of their unit, down into the community, and out and about where they feel safe, and make sure that they feel safe doing that. First aid classes as well. And then some of the other programming, flu shots, just bringing that on, Medicare information sessions. We have a health navigator on site, family dinner nights. So those are all the kind of different programmings that from the health impact assessments that we and the surveys we've gotten are really informing directly the programs that we're offering on site. So look forward to answering your questions. Thank you.